If you will, take your Bibles and open them to Matthew chapter 18. Be the text for our study tonight as we talk about the matter of forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35 will be our context. I don't know about you, but this is an area where I struggle in my life. Forgiveness is a challenge. It's difficult to forgive and to forgive as the Bible would have us to forgive. And so we need to do some study on this matter to make sure that we are as forgiving as what God would have us to be. But we're not the only ones that struggle with forgiveness. We have records in the Gospels of others who struggled with this matter. You remember that the Pharisees were struggling with this matter in Luke chapter 15 in verses 1 and 2, where the publicans and sinners were coming to Jesus and they were grumbling because Jesus was receiving them and they were being forgiven. Simon Peter, in our context, is struggling with forgiveness, and he has some questions about it, some serious questions, some deep questions that he has about forgiveness. He's struggling with it, and he'll struggle a little bit at least with the answer that Jesus gives. But let's begin by reading the context. Sometimes I just assume that you've already read the verses, and I just start preaching, and I don't want to do that tonight because I want to make sure that you understand the background of the text. Beginning in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 18. Let's read it together. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times.' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Tonight we want to talk about three common mistakes when it comes to forgiveness. We'll look at this context. We want to see that Peter asked two questions. First question was, if my brother sinned against me, how oft shall I forgive him? And then the second question was, till seven times. Jesus is going to give a two-part answer. The first answer is very quick, very succinct, where Jesus says, "I say not to you seven times, but 70 times seven." That's the short answer. But the long answer is the parable that Jesus told and all the details of that parable. So we want to notice both tonight. The first common mistake that I think we make when it comes to forgiveness is we think that we are creditors rather than debtors. We think that we are creditors rather than debtors. You'll see in this context that Peter says, "How oft shall my brother sin against me?" Peter sees himself as the creditor. His brother is the debtor. His brother has sinned against him. And so now it's up to Peter to determine whether or not he's going to extend credit to him, whether or not he's going to forgive this debt, whether or not he's going to be forgiving with his brother. And so Peter sees himself as a creditor rather than as a debtor, and Jesus is going to correct that. But sometimes we see that. We see ourselves in that way too. Won't you look at the context? Won't you look at what's been being talked about in the context? Because when you see the context, you'll understand why Peter said it the way that he did. Beginning in verse 18, verse 15, we see that if your brother sins against you, that's the context. Here's a brother that sins against you, and so you go to that brother and you tell him his fault between you and him alone. The idea is you keep the circle as small as you possibly can. This is an issue between two brothers, and so two brothers get together and they try to settle this. And if they can, then it never gets any bigger than that little circle that they've drawn. But if it doesn't work, if he's unwilling to hear you, then you take with you two or three witnesses. You've still got a small circle. Even though it's a little bit bigger, it's still very small. You take those two or three with you so they can be witnesses to what's being said and what's being done. And so maybe they can be mediators or peacemakers between the two of you. But if that doesn't work, then you tell it to the church. The whole church becomes involved in trying to solve this matter. Still, it's an in-house decision. It's an in-house matter. You're keeping it within the confines of the local congregation. And if that doesn't work, eventually then you're going to have to withdraw from that brother. You're going to have to treat him as a publican, as a sinner. You're going to have nothing to do with him because he refuses to honor and obey God. That's the context that we're talking about here. And so in this context, it's a brother that sins against you, and you go and you tell him your fault. But go back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23, and you'll see that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave the opposite situation. Matthew 5 and verse 23, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you." So Matthew 18, you have something against your brother, but in Matthew chapter 5, your brother has something against you. Sometimes we get in a debate, who is supposed to go to the other one? The person that has the fault with the other person is the one that's supposed to go, or the person who has done the wrong? Which one's supposed to go? And we argue about which one's supposed to go. Well, the answer is both. Both have a responsibility. If your brother has ought against you, then you go to him. If you have ought against your brother, then you go to him. God wants you to work it out. God doesn't want you to sit back and be passive. God doesn't want you to sit back and let your brother do the hard work. No, God says you take the initiative. You go and you work this out. If it involves leaving your gift at the altar to go be reconciled, then you leave your gift at the altar and you go be reconciled. This is difficult work. It's a difficult thing to forgive. It's a difficult thing to deal with sin in our lives and in the lives of other people. And so Peter's dealing with that, but Peter is seeing himself as the creditor rather than as the debtor. And Jesus is going to correct that in this context, because Jesus is going to tell this story of this man who owes the king 10,000 talents. Now the king is God. The king is Jesus in the context. Who is the servant that owes such a great debt? Well, in the context, that servant's Peter. That servant's you. That servant's me. We're the ones that owe that great debt. We're the great debtors that Jesus is talking about in this parable. Now, there are those that owe us something. There are those that owe us a small debt. That's our brother. Our brother owes us 100 denarii. He owes us a small amount in comparison to the huge amount that we owe God. So we have to see ourselves as debtors. And when we see ourselves as debtors, then we'll be more forgiving and more understanding and more compassionate toward our brother. But if we forget that we're debtors, if we forget that a great debt has been forgiven us, then we tend to be very hard with our brother. We tend to be very standoffish with our brother. We tend to refuse to forgive him as we ought to forgive him. And so that's what Jesus is dealing with here. And that's Peter. We're going to talk about what Peter thinks versus what is actually the truth in this context. But Peter is struggling with this matter. But I want you to go back and see some principles from the Old Testament. Go back to Exodus chapter 22. Go back to Exodus chapter 22. And God reminds the children of Israel this on a regular basis because God wants His children to be different than the people around them. So in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 21, God says this is the way they're supposed to treat their fellow man. It says, "You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." God says, don't you ever forget that you were strangers at one time. Don't you ever forget that you were in a strange land one time and how you were treated when you were in that land. And God says, now that they're strangers in your land, you make sure you don't treat them the way that they used to treat you. You make sure that you treat them with more compassion, more forgiveness, more understanding. The parallel to our parable is this. Don't ever forget that at one time you were a debtor. Don't ever forget that at one time you owe God this huge debt. Because if you ever forget that, then you're going to mistreat your fellow man. You're going to mistreat them because you've forgotten what it is to be a debtor. You've forgotten what that situation is. And when we talk about a debtor, we're talking in Matthew chapter 18, we're talking about a debtor. We're talking about somebody that owes 10,000 talents. Now, just to give you an idea of how large of a debt that is,
I want you to understand that the whole tax levy on the land of Palestine was 800 talents a year. 800 talents a year for the whole land. Here's one man, one individual, he owes 10,000 talents. He owed 12 and a half years worth of taxes for the land of Palestine. He was never going to be able to pay that. This was a debt that he could not pay. And yet it was a debt that he was forgiven. That's the debt of sin. That's a debt that we could never pay. We owe a debt that if we work the rest of our lives and then the next lifetime and the next lifetime and the lifetime after that, we never would be able to pay it. We never would be able to make that 10,000 talents. And so anything that my brother owes me, any wrong that my brother has done to me is small in comparison to the wrong that I did to my father, the wrong that I did to God. It's 100 pence in comparison to 10,000 talents. Now here's what 100 pence was. 100 pence was about 3 to 4 months' wages. They worked a day for a denarii. So you get a denarii every day, you live off a little bit of it, save what you can. And so in about a 4 month period, this man could have, if he really worked hard, he could have paid off this debt. He has a 4 month debt instead of a debt of several lifetimes. And yet this man goes and takes him by, lays hands on him. The idea is that he squeezes him. He's trying to squeeze the money out of him is the idea. He grabs him like a sponge and he's squeezing him. And then the Bible says he takes him by the throat. He doesn't want to hear what this man has to say. He grabs him by the throat and he demands that he pay him all. And when this man does to him what he had done to the king, when this man falls at his feet and begs for compassion, begs for mercy and promises to pay all, he doesn't do what the king had done for him. He doesn't give forgiveness. He doesn't absolve the debt. He says, no. No, I will not forgive this debt. And he takes him and he casts him into prison. Why did this man act this way? This man acted this way because he forgot that he was a debtor. God's going to remind him he's a debtor. At the end of this parable, God's going to remind him of the debt that he owes. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But sometimes we forget that we're a debtor. And when we forget that, we're not very forgiving. But when we remember the debt that we owed, the debt that we could never pay, then any debt that anybody owes us is small. And we tend to be more forgiving and more understanding of them because of how forgiving and understanding God has been of us. Look at the context of Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse 33. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? We remember the pity that's been shown to us, then it's a lot easier for us to show pity to other people. Think about another principle with me. Think about Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. Another principle in the New Testament that I think is pretty important when it comes to this matter. And that is that we must never forget that we have someone to whom we must answer. Not only do people sometimes have to answer to us, we have to answer to someone. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. Reading about the first century world, it was a world that was filled with slavery, but there were reminders that were given to masters. This is one. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. The master must always remember that he has a master. And if I mistreat my bondservant, I mistreat my servant, then how is my master going to treat me? If I'm not just and fair with him the way that God has been just and fair with me, then what punishment's going to come my way? And Matthew chapter 18 says, you're going to incur all that debt again. You're going to have a problem with the master because the master's going to one day hear what you've done. He's going to judge you accordingly. And Jesus talks about the torturers and how you're going to be handed over to the torturers. Doesn't sound very pleasant. Handed over to somebody where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dies not, where the fire is not quenched, all that, Jesus says, is going to be true. Sometimes we forget that we're debtors. We see ourselves simply as creditors. But notice some other verses with me. Go to Luke. Let's look at Luke chapter 7, first of all. And we're going to go to Simon's house, and we're going to pay Simon a visit. Simon invited the Lord to come to his house on one occasion. And when Jesus gets there, Simon gets a lesson that he probably never forgot. It's a lesson about forgiveness because Simon wasn't as forgiving as what he should have been. In Luke chapter 7, When Jesus shows up there, there's someone else that shows up, uninvited, another guest that comes. Luke chapter 7, verse 47 is going to be the main verse that we will notice, but we'll notice the whole context. I want you to look, beginning in verse 26, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, that's Simon, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box, flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Verse 39, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Here's Simon. Simon clearly sees this woman. He says, she's a sinner. Jesus ought to know that she is a sinner. Now, who is Simon focused on? Focused on this woman and the debt that she owes. He's not focused on himself and the debt that he owes. He's focused on her and her debt. Now Jesus is going to say, Simon, in verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There is a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Jesus has a message for Simon, and Simon, and this message is this, Simon, you don't love me very much. Simon, the reason you don't love me very much is because you think your sins are little. And since you think your sins are little, you don't have a great appreciation for the forgiveness that you enjoy. You don't see how great your debt really was. You see how great her debt was. She's a huge sinner. You see that. And Jesus said her sins are many. What's the implication? Implication is, Simon, your sins are many too. You just don't recognize it. You don't see it. But this woman is showing that she recognizes that she's a debtor, and because she recognizes that, she's showing the greater love to Jesus, greater love than what Simon did. Go to Luke chapter 18. We again will read about some Pharisees who didn't remember that they were debtors. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They saw everybody else as debtors. They saw themselves as creditors. And as a result of that, they didn't treat people the way that they should have. Look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Look at how they saw themselves versus how they saw others. Because they didn't see themselves as debtors, they saw themselves as righteous, as deserving of everything that happened to them. They mistreated other people. They weren't forgiving other people. And so this man demonstrates that. Notice he says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So think about what he's saying. He's saying, look at me and look at how good I am. And look at everybody else and how bad they are. But how did the publican see himself? Look at verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat up on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself should be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So this publican, he's not thinking about this Pharisee and how many sins he has. He's not focused on that man, and that man had a lot of sins too. He's very prideful for one thing. This publican's not focused on that. He's focused on himself. He's focused on his own sins. He's focused on the fact that I have a debt that I can't pay, so why am I so worried about that debt that he owes? His debt's nothing in comparison to the debt that I owe. He saw himself as a debtor. And hope tonight that we see ourselves as debtors. We see ourselves as those who owe a huge debt. And that helps us to be more forgiving. It helps us to be more understanding. But let's notice the second lesson from Matthew chapter 18. And that's this. We tend to think that we're more gracious than what we are. Look at what Peter says in Luke 18. Luke says in, or not Luke, but Peter says in verse 21, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive? Up to seven times. Now, as Peter thought he was being gracious, let me explain what Peter thought. The rabbis taught that you had to forgive a person three times. Then the fourth time, you didn't have to forgive them. So three times, but when they sin against you the fourth time, you can cut them off. You don't have to forgive them anymore. So that was their teaching. So Peter takes that number, he doubles it, and he adds one for good measure. He says, well, I won't do three times. I won't do six times. I'll do seven times. That's how gracious I am. That's how gracious Peter saw himself. Peter thought he was really being generous, really being gracious. How did Jesus respond to that? I don't say to you up to seven times. It's 70 times seven. 490 times. Peter was only off by 483. It's not too bad, right? He was in the ballpark, what Jesus wanted to be. Seven times. Peter thought that was gracious, but the Lord said, Peter, that's not gracious at all. You know, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 4, the Lord will say it differently. The Lord will say it this way, if your brother sins against you and come to you seven times in a day and repents, you're to forgive him. Seven times a day. Peter's thinking seven times in a lifetime. Peter says, if my brother sins against me seven times, he's thinking over the course of all the years that I know him, if he sins against me seven times, I'll forgive him, but I don't have to forgive him the eighth time. The eighth time, I don't have to forgive him anymore. Jesus says, Peter, if he sins against you seven times in one day and repents, you have to forgive him. We tend to think that we're more gracious than what we are. We tend to think we're pretty good at this forgiveness thing. We tend to think that we're very forgiving. When really, when we look at the context of how much we've been forgiven, we don't measure up. We fall short in the area of forgiveness of how much God has forgiven us. Because the Bible tells us that how are we supposed to forgive? This context, verse 33 says, as I had pity on you. You forgive as I've forgiven you. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And here we're talking about the forgiveness of Christ and the forgiveness that we enjoy. In Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 12. Look at the context of Christianity and what's expected of us. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So we're supposed to forgive as Christ forgave. We're supposed to forgive as we've been forgiven. Now, Peter said seven times. Jesus said 70 times seven. What characterizes our forgiveness? How gracious, how generous is our forgiveness? Let me give you a parable that may illustrate this for you. The parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes to his father. He demands his inheritance. His father gives it to him. He goes to the far country. He wastes that, and then he comes home. What is seven times forgiveness? Taking the son back at all is seven times forgiveness. Saying to the son, you can come back as a hired servant. That's forgiveness. That's seven times forgiveness. But what is 70 times seven forgiveness? Not taking him back as a hired servant, but taking him back as a son. Saying, go get the best robe. Go get a ring. Go get shoes. Go kill the fatted calf. That's 70 times seven forgiveness. That's the kind of forgiveness that God wants us to have. We think we're generous when we take somebody back under a conditional basis. We think we're forgiving when we say, okay, this time, but don't let it happen again. That's kind of the way we receive people. That's not the way God receives us. God, that's not how the prodigal son's father received him back. He received him back as a son. He restored him to that position. That's the kind of forgiveness that we're talking about. When we think we're gracious, we probably fall far short of that characteristic. But let's think about a third thing. The third thing is that we think that we can be forgiven even if we stop forgiving. It's a common misconception about forgiveness. Peter evidently thought, I can forgive seven times and then I don't have to forgive after that. I don't have to forgive 8, 9, 10, 11 times. Just seven times and I'm done. But what did Peter expect would continue for him? I forgive you seven times, but I expect God to forgive me many, many more times. What if God only forgave us seven times? What if God says, okay, seven times no more? Well, I can tell you this, I can go home right now. I could have gone home 30 years ago, 40 years ago, because I'd already used up my seven times. In fact, if he limited it to 490 times, I could probably go home right now, because I've already been guilty of that. I've already crossed out that number. Jesus isn't saying a literal 490 times. Jesus is saying that forgiveness, basically what Jesus is saying is forgiveness doesn't keep a record at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, there's a beautiful principle in the Greek that you'll miss if you're not careful. It's talking about love and the characteristics of love, and it says it thinketh no evil. That expression in the Greek says this, it keeps no books. Love keeps no books. Love doesn't keep a ledger. Oh, here's how many times you've sinned against me. Here's how many times you've done the wrong thing to me. Love doesn't do that. Love keeps no books. It keeps no records of that. Love forgives. What does God do with our sins? Isaiah 37 and 38. He casts them behind his back. He doesn't look on them anymore. Micah says he cast them into the depths of the sea. And Corey Ten Boom said he puts up a sign that says no fishing. That's true. He throws them in the depths of the sea and he says, you stay away from there. You don't go back there. You don't bring those things back up again. They're forgiven, buried in the depths of the sea. That's what God does with our sin. But we tend to think, I can stop forgiving, but I can still get forgiveness. That's not how that works. The moment that I stop forgiving, guess what happens? I stop being forgiven. The moment that this man stopped forgiving, what happened? He had been forgiven this debt. He'd been forgiven 10,000 talents. But when word came back to the master that he was unwilling to forgive somebody that owed him, what did the master do? Gave him all his debt back. You see, sin is a debt. And as long as we're forgiving, that debt is being forgiven. But when we quit forgiving, then that debt quits being forgiven. We incur that debt again. We have that responsibility again. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Look at what Jesus is teaching. In the Sermon on the Mount, it's in the context of prayer. Jesus has several things to say about it in Matthew chapter 6. It begins in what we call the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. He's going to talk about how we pray on a daily basis. He says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Every day we pray for God to give us our bread. That tells us that the prayer life of the Christian, the prayer life of the disciple is a daily activity. Every day. We don't ask for bread. God, give me my bread for the next 50 years. Okay, I don't have to pray anymore. Not how that works. Every day I get up and say, God, give me what I need for today. Take care of my needs for today. Every day I get up and I say that prayer. Now, if I'm praying daily this prayer, asking for God for bread, what am I also asking for on a daily basis? Forgive me my debts. I'm asking every day, God, forgive me my debts. Why? Because every day I incur a debt that I can't pay. Every day I have debts that need to be forgiven. So every day I'm asking God to forgive me of my sins, forgive me of my debts. What's the conditional basis of this? As I forgive my debtors. If I don't forgive my debtors, then what happens with my debt? It's not forgiven. Look at the context. Jesus is going to make sure you get the point. In Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 14 and 15. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if I forgive men their trespasses, then my trespasses are forgiven. But if I don't forgive men their trespasses, then my trespasses are not forgiven either. That's what happened to this man. This man had been forgiven this great trespass of 10,000 talents. When he failed to forgive his fellow man of this small debt, he owed his debt again. He became a debtor again. He lost the forgiveness that had been given to him. You can lose your forgiveness if you're unforgiving. That's how serious this matter is. That's what Jesus is talking about. So we make some mistakes when it comes to forgiveness, mistakes that can cost us our forgiveness. First of all, we forget that we're debtors. We forget how great of a debt that we owe. And when we forget how great of debtors we are, then we tend to be hard and difficult with other people. The second thing that we do is we think we're more gracious than what we really are. We think we're more forgiving than what we are. We all have room for improvement. We all have room for growth in this area. We may think we've arrived, but I can assure you we're not yet as forgiving as God is forgiving with us. We still got work to do. And then the final point is that the moment we stop forgiving, and we stop being forgiven. So if I'm this side of judgment, and I am, and if you're this side of judgment and you are, then what should you be doing on a daily basis? Forgiving people. Why? Because you still got a judgment day coming. The Master's going to call you in one day. When the Master calls you in, are you going to have forgiven those that owed you a debt? Because you're going to want Him to forgive your debt. If you've not been forgiving, then you're going to have a debt. You're going to have a debt that you can't pay. Tonight, we want to offer the invitation of our Lord. We want you to understand forgiveness and the forgiveness that's offered to you. You're the individual that owes 10,000 talents. I am too. We all are in that condition. We owe that amount, an amount that we could never pay. But God offers through our willingness to submit to Him, fall down before Him, beg Him, plead with Him, submitting to Him, God's willing to forgive that debt because He's a gracious and a good God. Tonight, you submit to God by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You submit to God by repenting of your sins and turning away from them. You submit to God by confessing Christ as God's Son, by being immersed in water to have your sins washed away. That's how you submit to God. If you're willing to do that, then God will forgive that debt that you can never pay. If you're a child of God and you've been unfaithful, then you've incurred that debt again. You've failed to be what God would have you to be, and so you've fallen back into the sin category, and in the sin category, you have the debt of sin attached to you again. The Master's compassionate. He'll forgive you that debt yet again. He has a second law of pardon. If you'll come back, as our sister did this morning, confessing sin, God will take away that debt again. You'll be free. You won't carry that debt any longer. You have that opportunity as we stand and as we sing.